Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We're going to review Moon Knight for you. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this Disney Plus series, which is obviously part of the MCU fourth phase. This one is created by Jeremy Slater, and it stars Oscar Isaac, Mae Calamaway, Kareem Al-Hakim, M.R.E. Abraham, Ethan Hawke. Shut up. That's all appropriate.
That's great.
Kevin Feige and other people are executive producers. It's 6 episodes long. Each episode runs between 44 and 53 minutes. And Wayne, what is it about?
Moon Knight follows Stephen Grant, who is a mild-mannered gift shop employee who becomes plagued with blackouts and memories of another life and weird stuff going on. He soon discovers he has dissociative identity disorder and shares a body with a mercenary named Mark Spector. That's the film. I mean, show. I mean, yeah. I mean, used to be cartoon. Yeah. Okay.
That is exactly it. Now, the reviews for this one are pretty positive.
Positive, really? I mean, positive. Really. Sorry, go on.
Rotten Tomatoes has this as 86% of positive approval rating out of, with an average score of, sorry, I should say, of 7.65 out of 10 based on 234 reviews. Metacritic, which gives a weighted score, gave it 69 out of 100 based on 27 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. All right, then, Wayne, what did you think of this 6-episode series, Moon Knight?
Overall, I got to tell you, the first thing I thought was like, Oscar Isaac's accent is crap.
Really?
Like, yeah, I was sitting there going, this sounds like what, he's
Steven,
doing...
talking like this.
Yeah, he's talking like this. And he seems to be doing an impression of an English person as opposed to being English. However, I did get used to it by about 10 minutes in. I think that as a show, it annoyed me a bit within the first 3 episodes because it took a long time for me to start caring about things. And Steven, the Oscar Isaac's character, is a bit too much of a whiny bitch for me to just watch for half the season. Well, all the way through, but yeah, until it started, you started seeing developments, I was like, this bitch can just not be a bitch if you like. That could be better. Like, you know, I think if you somehow are a comic person who knows Moon Knight, I am, but didn't know Moon Knight, you'll have a passing interest in this. I think it took a bit long to get where it was going, but in the episode, towards the end, when you finally started getting things happening.
Be careful for spoilers. We'll be general until we get to the spoiler button.
It was trying a level of grandiose, which I'm not sure it hit. There were some odd decisions I thought that got made where if I was like, well, why don't you just make certain characters do the thing that they made other characters do? Those types of things were fine. I thought it was okay, but I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, man.
No, absolutely right with you. Once again, Marvel have swung for the fences and have come up way short. This has been caught at least 50 feet short of the home.
Yeah, right.
Home line. This is bad sport analogy aside. This is very, very... You know what? This is poor. It's poor other than one massive, massive positive, which gets it over the line. Oscar Isaac's performance. You've just had a go at his accent. I think his job of embodying two separate characters who look exactly the same as part of dissociative identity disorder is superlative. I think he nails this. He is electric to watch on screen, and he's in almost every scene.
Yeah, he's a Moon Knight. So
he works in this role, and I always have a bit of an issue with acting getting things as the only thing across the line. Yeah. But in this case, it works for me in a way that nothing else, not anybody else, not any part of the production works. Oscar Isaac works. He is worth watching this show for. Otherwise, fucking meh.
He's easily the best thing about it, and I will agree with you. Despite the fact that I didn't buy his English accent, he's
so two different people.
Yeah, his performance is actually convincing, especially when he's swapping between
them.
When
he's Mark Spector, he's confident.
That's why.
And the way he moves, the way that he embodies and personifies this action hero, if you want to put it that way, is perfect. And when he's Steven, is it Lockwood? Can't remember his last name.
Yeah.
When he's Steven, he is a simpering fool.
Yeah.
And it works.
No, and I think, now that I think about it, if you look at the casting or whatever the stage direction, or they're just like, it's like, you know, we need to make these people disparate. So one's got to have a completely different accent to the other. So I think it was a whole thing about, you know, yeah, you got to learn that thing there. Again, I mean, a lot of people didn't have a problem with it. I seemed to. So
again, I can get past a accent. What I can't get past is really boring writing for a 6-episode show.
That's right. I had about in episode 4, I have a note that says, this show is like boring or something, I'm not getting enough payoffs for it to continue to be interesting yet.
I won't be specific, I should say, for spoilers, but halfway through the show, give or take, maybe even another episode or so, there's been like two bona fide action sequences.
Yes.
Two. Mm. And a little bit of a chase sequence. And I'm like, what are they thinking of here? What you can't ask people to spend 4 hours to get to something that's rousing and interesting and engaging.
Yeah.
Given this is a one-off TV show, which it's not guaranteed for three more seasons.
Nope.
It's not The Boys or whatever else, where that we know that there's a TV, there's a lot of source material behind it. There is in this one too. But this one, you've got to win people over.
Yeah,
nobody knows about Moon Knight.
That's right. And when they start doing the script, sort of goes sideways on purpose around episode 4. Okay, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm not sure the show has built up enough currency for me to buy into a weird tonal shift like that. To me, it's just like when it went south, left or right, I was like, I need to be interested for you to take me on this and keep me interested. I was more like, I don't know if I can be bothered watching the rest of them. I'll be honest with you.
Stephen Lockwood. Stephen Grant.
Grant.
Is his name. My apologies.
Okay.
I'm with you. I watched this under sufferance because we had a hole in the schedule this week.
Yes.
I watched the first two episodes, but I'm out. And I disappeared. I stopped watching it after a month.
Yeah.
And then we agreed that this would be the thing we would do this week. All right. I will get through the next 4 episodes for the purpose of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do much more for me.
No.
I would say the episode 5 and 6 are the best 2 episodes of the show, but not enough that I will never watch season 2 of Moon Knight. I don't care.
Really?
No.
The only way they're going to get me to watch season 2 is if they put a real Marvel person in it. Like if it's like, oh, and you know, cameo by whatever.
Can you see Mark Spector popping up in a phase 4 or 5 movie from here on out?
Well, the fact that because I think that when they tweeted this, they said the series finale, and then they changed it to season finale. So what happened was like they were initially maybe like Oscar Isaac had an option or whatever to continue, which he clearly then signed. So now there's season 2 coming.
Well, I'm gonna put it this way to you.
Yeah.
If next year, unless there's nothing else like this year, and I can't imagine it will be because COVID, not that it's a thing of past, not that it's okay, but Hollywood productions have not been steamrolled into nothingness now by COVID. So we'll have plenty of other things to review. I'm out. This show did not do it for me. If we had to rank the season 4, the phase 4, it's better than Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but that's it. It's probably better than What If, because at least I finished this show. I didn't finish What If.
Oh, okay.
But it ain't nothing.
Oh, What If is like...
I preferred WandaVision because that was at least different and interesting. I certainly preferred Loki. Am I missing something else?
I prefer... whatever. I prefer all the Marvel films, all TV shows that have come lately to this one, including What If. Including Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So this is your worst.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, I had a better time in Falcon because there were fight scenes that were cool. It ended like shit and it was stupid, but I had a better time for longer than this show.
Fair enough.
So that's why I think
It's not worth arguing about.
You know,
dotting your I's and crossing T's. Unfortunately, Phase 4 continues to disappoint. That is my perpetual reaction to this phase after the...
So you didn't like Doctor Strange either?
It was fine.
It's fine.
I think I gave it 3 stars, you know, around about 60. This show is not even that level.
Yeah.
Don't bother. If you've not watched, I don't, honestly, do not believe you need to watch this show to get anything out of Phase 4 movies.
It's gotten very little to do with the rest of the MCU at large. Yep. So these are all new characters.
Yep.
It's an all new thing. So I found it hard to care. And you know what? I think the actual problem I have overall with this show is that I didn't like Steven that much.
Yeah, fair enough.
I didn't like him. He took forever to allow certain things to happen to save people. I'm like, why don't you stop being a whiny bitch and let someone take over so you can actually save someone? But no, instead he continued to be a whiny bitch for too long.
There were some good things. I want to get into on the other side of spoilers though. So you cool with that?
Yeah, totally. Let's hit it.
That's our non-spoiler review. Let's get into it on the side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, and the truth is this is like 86% positive. I know that's only 3 stars and above. I would hesitate. Not hesitate, I should say, to say that no one's given this 4 stars and above. This is a lot of 3 stars, maybe 3.5 star.
I don't understand how it got 86.
Oh, that's Rotten Tomatoes. You only need to get 3 stars and above to get a positive.
So this is a proportion of people that liked it as opposed to the score on the film.
Yeah, yeah, no one loved it. No one gave it 86 out of 100.
Very deceptive.
But that's Rotten Tomatoes for you. Rotten Tomatoes is basically saying what's fresh. Fresh is 60% good.
Oh, okay. All right, so what? Please talk. What is it? What spoiler wise did you like and dislike about this show?
What I liked about the show is I dug the trying to put you into the protagonist's mindset by having, you know, stutter, black, boom, somewhere else. I like that device. It was interesting. A couple of times it stuck Steven somewhere completely out of his comfort range, yep. including so Ethan Hawke plays Harrow,
mm-hmm.
the villain of the piece, and you know he's dealing with his enclave and cult, and well, that was disorientating and interesting and whatever else. And then we get sort of Mark talking to him in mirrors and reflections. That's a nice device as well. I buy into that. It's not bad.
Yes, those things are fine. Those things are all fine.
That's one episode, episode one. And have we got to where, I think that was episode one, was it episode two?
I don't know.
It was very early on in the piece. Yeah. But we needed to progress it faster.
Yes. And yet,
come episode four, we're still treading water in the same ground.
Exactly. And what's his name? Mark. He's the one who can do all the cool ninja action shit, right? He's not in it for long enough. We're getting Steven.
We get Steven running away from whatever dog is chasing him in episode one. I think it may be episode two. We get him running away from Harrow's cultists and then he's driving and blah, blah, blah.
That was cool. The rooftop CGI running across the roofs was quite good.
That was, I think, episode two.
Yeah.
And then we get like one battle scene where he fights some dude who apparently is from the comics in Egypt or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was episode three.
I'm trying to remember that. Yes, possibly.
That's it? That's all you've given us so far? I've been watching for 2 hours plus if you take out all the end credit sequence credits.
It moves slow.
So slow,
this
show.
That's the problem. It's boring in its pace. So it's like... the second episode, I will admit, was much better for me. I remember like going, okay, I'm a bit more interested now. But still by four or whatever, I'm sitting there going, no, I'm still bored.
I think the tone on this show is also really poor.
Tone.
So we'd have him, this is a darker show as some of the reviews mentioned, as we acknowledge.
It is, and the reason it was interesting was it looked like an A24 kind of like Marvel. Do you know what I mean? They were really doing some indie looking shit.
Yeah, that's fed back by having Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead direct a couple of the episodes as well. The guys who did Synchronic, do you remember that movie? Where Anthony Mackie and Jamie Dornan sort of flashing around in time.
A bit more pondery. Yep. Yeah.
And they did that. They did The Endless and Spring as well. So...
Okay. But
they've got some interesting films in their oeuvre,
mm-hmm.
and they brought some of that to it. There was a couple of nice shots and whatever else in this particular show, but it's not enough to keep you going. There's not enough to sink your teeth into. There's a lot of like, oh, here's a new character. You just care about it because we're Marvel. Exactly. No, I don't.
Yeah, it's not poorly made. It is poorly paced.
Yes,
is how it is.
It's poorly paced, but it's also there's not enough action. It's a Marvel TV show. You can't get by with basically for the whole sequence of this 6-hour-ish, 5.5 hours, there's 4 action sequences.
Yeah.
4. Not good enough.
Well, I mean, agree with that. But by the time you get to, say, episode 4, all right?
So 4 has a big twist. At the end, Mark gets killed.
Yes.
Gets shot by Harrow. He's shot. I thought that was great. Like, oh, okay. And... this is the one talking about the tonal. It's almost felt like a Korean TV show, Korean movie.
Mm.
These tonal inconsistencies where, bam, the hero's been killed. What? He wakes up in some weird place and he's running around. Boom, door opens. Hippopotamus god.
That.
Hi. I'm like, what? What are you doing?
That's, to
this
me.
Undermines completely the tension of what we've just experienced.
Well, I think if they had done a better job of keeping you in the, like on, you know, taking you with them basically by going through it and you're more, then when the hippo thing happens, you're happier about, like you'd be like more accepting of it. I remember reading the note, what's with the fucking hippopotamus?
Yep.
Because... it's become, at this stage, started to annoy me because nothing's cool.
It's just goofy.
It's goofy. And then what happens? Episode 5.
5 I liked. 5, we get an explanation for what's going on.
The obtuse psych ward diversion type thing.
Yeah, so I think we get a reasonably good representation of what is dissociative identity disorder. Now, I'm going to put my psych hat on for a moment. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I've had a couple of clients who've got full-blown dissociative identity disorder.
What is it?
It's multiple personality disorder,
okay,
as it used to be called.
Right.
That's been done away with, and DSM-5 is now called dissociative identity disorder, DID.
Hmm.
I have seen a client sit across from me and change.
Really?
I have been on the phone with a client who's gone, da-da-da-da-da, hung up the phone, 2 minutes later, phone rings. Well, you fucked that up, Paul, didn't you? She's going to kill herself tonight if you don't intervene now.
That person's also
same person. Talking in a different voice.
Wow.
Right. So I've been through that kind of stuff. So to have that represented the way that it is in this show, it's not bad. That disorientation, that sure. dissociation, that like I don't know where I am, what I'm doing, I think that's all
depicted well enough.
Cool. Okay. That's fine. Fine. And to see the explanation for it, that his little brother died on his watch and mum has traumatized him by beating him around this for years, presumably on end.
So he created another personality.
Yeah, to cope with that. And that's the whole theory of dissociative identity disorder, that
okay.
trauma spawns you to create someone else to deal with this.
Okay.
At a very fundamental, rudimentary level.
Sure.
Good. That's all fine. I like that episode. But why are we going to hippo god?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. You may, from academically, I can see with your profession and so on, that would be interesting for you. But for me, episode 5 felt like that episode of The Sopranos where Tony got shot. And then for like a whole season, he's in this other world and he's just this slightly different character.
I've completely forgotten that.
Yeah, it's like a whole season like that. It was the worst fucking season of The Sopranos. Again, I don't know they've earned enough credit as a series to throw us that curveball.
After 4 episodes, yeah.
Yeah, and so this would be this is the episode where people jump ship because, like...
No pun intended.
Yeah, because the best part of the episode is finding out that, yes, Steven is a fabrication that he made, and that's definitely the best part of the episode. And him, the scene of Steven comforting, then healing Mark, telling him his brother's death wasn't his fault... It's like he's healing himself. Very interesting conceptually.
Ooh,
so that's good.
That's a bingo.
I reckon that episode 5, as weird as it was, made me at least go to episode 6.
Well, I liked episode 5. Okay, well, we're getting going here. Yeah.
Well,
but it's too late. Like, there's no way the show's great by episode 5 of 6.
Not only is it too late, you have actually lost in this whole episode the threat that was looming the entire season. Ethan Hawke is not even in it now. So it's like, this episode is just like a left turn. And I think to myself, how are they going to wrap up the rest of it in one more 40-minute episode? So that's probably another thing that kept me going to episode 6. It's like, how the fuck are they going to turn from this
and then
to the end?
We have my biggest complaint of all. But I do want to do a little bit of a sideways before we get there to the second lead of the show.
The girl?
Yeah, Layla El Fayouli.
Okay.
Yeah, who becomes Scarlet Scarab.
Right.
Who's apparently again, I don't read these comics.
No, I don't know either.
So we get a very short scene where her and Moon Knight are fighting together. She's accepted whatever other god to be temporarily
her avatar
or whatever it is. And off they fight and they're up against Harrow and the Harrow's minions. And meanwhile, the gods are fighting in the background really poorly.
Let's just talk about it for a second. All right. The gods are doing some kaiju shit in the background.
That's
okay.
That's a good description.
That's the thing, right? Why isn't that just Moon Knight? Why do I have to see the gods that aren't the lead character fight? Why isn't he that big? He's a fucking conceptual. He should be the one fighting the motherfucker. Why was that happening? And then you got a foreground fight with some other people thing. That was a bit weird. Also, in this episode, Ethan Hawke all of a sudden becomes an ass kicker. The whole movie, he's been walking around on glass sandals and shit and the fucking
walking stick.
Pond. Yeah, exactly, right? I'm sure he couldn't have taken on Moon Knight one-on-one previously, and now he's taking on two gods. And he's still fucking kicking ass. It's just like, this is weird. The chick, please tell me about the chick. She's whomping everyone's ass, and now she's pinned by two cunts with machine guns. I'm like, are you a superhero or not? Because it's like, she would have walked straight through them in previous scenes, but now machine guns are pinning me down. I don't know what to do. Wait, you just took out like 20 cunts.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't think this is well put together show. Yeah. And I think people are giving more of a pass than they should. And then we get maybe the most egregiously shit moment of the entire season. In this last episode.
Yeah.
They're pinned down, like you said. They're going to lose. Harrow's going to win. Stutter, black. Defeated.
Yeah.
What? Hey? You robbed us of the moment to imply the existence of a third altar? That is a terrible, terrible fucking decision. And any chances have of getting a really positive mark? I honestly went back to have to watch it again because I was so tired when I was watching the last episode. Well, I'm like, hang on, they actually did that. It wasn't me imagining it. This is terrible writing.
This is like Desperado where the ending was just cut, right?
And but
like,
what happened? Was cut because of the overt violence.
Yeah.
This was cut because they're trying to give
Who knows why this was cut for?
Well,
maybe it didn't
there's
work.
There's only one explanation. We're implying...
We ran out of money.
Well, maybe.
Who knows?
Okay, you're right. There's not one explanation. There are multiple explanations, but story-wise...
It was a weird decision.
Story-wise, the only explanation is we wanted to imply there's someone else who took care of business.
All right.
But why would you do that and not show it?
I don't agree with this, but I suspect the thinking went along like this lines. all right, so there's a big fight at the end. Something's going to go down. We're not sure if anyone, certainly not Mark and definitely not Steven, can take out this thing. And then it's like, cuts to black. All of a sudden, they're defeated. And these two guys are like, who the fuck did that? Exactly. I didn't do it. You didn't do it, right? So now we know, okay, there's a third person. Now, I think that the reason they did this, or this is the way I justify it to the scriptwriter, is you want the Jake character that reveals himself at the very, very end to be as mysterious as possible to the stage where you don't even know how he fights to make sure to take all these motherfuckers out.
Not good enough.
No, not good enough. I'll tell you why, Paul. Because if they had given us a sweet action scene and then still revealed it was Jake at the end, it would have still worked.
Yes.
It would have still worked. So this was a... That's why I say...
We see it. We didn't need to know. Maybe we could have seen a change in Oscar Isaac's performance. Maybe we could have seen the Moon Knight change to looking like someone else. What's that? Why is he this guy now? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
And then we get the explanation at the end.
Well, they would have said that you don't get the stinger shock at the very end if you know more
Fuck
about
your stinger shock if you get rid of the highest action beat in a series.
Yes, and but that's what they would have gone. They go, if we showed that, then you'd already know Jake was bad. And at the Madness. End, you don't get to have the third.
Whoever passed that by,
yeah,
and maybe it was a budget consideration, I don't know, then shoot your other episodes better so that the finale, the climax, is the high point of the show. Yeah. Terrible.
Well, you know what else I thought was a bit weird? Like, the hippo chick takes over the girl. Is that hippo even a god? But she didn't seem to be on the same page as all those other motherfuckers in the pyramid who were, like, turning up. Was she one of them? I don't think she was. She was just a tour guide.
Tourette?
No idea. But that seemed oddly inconsistent to me, and... I don't know. The even the way that Mark and Steven come back is hella sketchy because, like, they reconnect in the same afterlife.
I didn't have a big problem with that.
Trade the heart for the resurrection, and then there's a hippo on the boat.
It's balancing the scales. You can't balance scales if you get rid of one of you. Then that really does shit on the third altar.
Yeah,
as well.
So we're the third guy the whole time. Why wasn't he just alive the whole time? You know? So it's a bit weird. It wasn't quite for me, man.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, this show is a real dud, I think, overall. If not for Oscar Isaac's absolutely superlative performance, this is an absolute fail. So I'm just going to go out there and say it now, Wayne. I'm giving this a flat 50.
Oh, right 50.
On the nose.
Yeah, I'm not far from that. Again, the fifth episode did buck me back into watching the sixth episode. So slightly higher, 53. Yeah. I'll go 53.
It's not worth any more than that. I'm stunned by this Rotten Tomatoes 86% positive. It's... not a good show. It doesn't deserve really a second season. It's poor writing.
It's
okay direction. Terrible action. Excellent performance particularly from Oscar Isaac. And not that Ethan Hawke and Mae Calloway are bad.
No.
But
although I saw online, remember, I think it was episode one or two, Ethan Hawke's walking through this sort of like little, I don't know, community of people that are his followers. And some guy walks up to him and says something in like Cantonese or something. He answers him. People are like, that was gibberish. Like, no, that what was
shock horror.
Like, ping, pong, 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 pong. It's like, what the fuck was ping, that? Pong, pong, pong. It wasn't even actual. I don't know. They're like, this is not actual a Chinese language of any sort. So there you are. So yeah, stuff like that. I don't really care about that. But overall, bored.
But
too bored.
You couldn't. Therefore, that lowers it. You can't give any show that doesn't bother to put the effort
into
giving
an
honest answer to a question that's posed in another language.
Well, that's why I think to myself, because you think, oh, it's Marvel. They got all the money in the world. They'll never fall away from budget. But I reckon they might have, because they lost an action scene, and they didn't even have a guy who searched the internet for how you speak.
Marvel Phase 4, bitterly disappointing. I'm sorry. It really has been overall.
Look, this one is the worst for me. I don't mind Phase 4.
They need to work their shit out and get it right for Phase 5, whenever the fuck that starts. Because whatever you're doing now, it's bullshit. Sort it out, Marvel.
I don't even know what Phase 4 is supposed to be now.
Exactly. We've lost it.
Is there a big bad?
Phase 1, create the origins. Phase 2, organize Thanos as the big, big bad. Phase 3, Thanos is work well through all this thing, and then the climactic battle, and then the resolution. Phase 4, what the fuck is it?
Well, it seems
we're resetting it, but how? Where? Where's the evidence of what we're moving towards?
Here's what's happening. My take is that Phase 4 should be about a multiverse, or the multiverse.
Oh, I thought we got there with Loki. I thought we got to Kang
the
Conqueror.
That's where it came, exactly.
I'm like, brilliant. Okay, now we've got it.
So these little
and
stories
nothing's
here,
happened.
Well, not every movie has to talk about a multiverse, right? Because I like Shang-Chi, I know you didn't, but that wasn't really multiversey at all. Or at the very end, there was some talk about it, kind of. Not really, but more like the artifact. But now... you've got, like, it's okay for them to have a Moon Knight, which only, you know, it doesn't necessarily talk about a multiverse at all, but it has to be interesting and fun and action-y and Marvel-y, which it's losing a bit. So, Yeah, this certainly this phase four is talky. It's very talky.
Not a lot of action and not a lot of interest, at least as far as I'm concerned. What's that next? Is it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Let us know what you thought of Moon Knight or indeed Marvel Phase 4. And you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can hit up thecountdownpodcast.com as a website, which is in its first phase. Follow us on Podbean, where we host, and the Facebook community link is in the show notes. That is it from us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne. And
this has been The Soundboard.
How would you like to suck my balls?
Marvel Phase 4. We'll catch you next time. See ya.